The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hi, this is Joanna LaForgia from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting content from the Southern Living Special Collector's Edition of Southern Living Magazine. This week, we are going to hear about Florida's wild side and the biodiversity of the Mayaca River Valley. The cover of this magazine is a photo of the East Fork overlook from the Blue Ridge Parkway. So in the background, there's a golden sun setting, or it could be rising. Pretty sure it's, you know what, it looks like a sunrise. It does. Okay, and the mountains in the background are purplish, and in the foreground, as they get closer to us, they are covered in lush green trees, moss green trees, dark green trees. And in the very foreground, right before us, is an azalea bush. Huge azalea bush over to the right and in the front, and it's got purplish pink flowers. You know, I'm calling it an azalea. It might be a rhododendron, but I'm pretty sure it's an azalea. All right. And from the top to the bottom, the magazine cover says Southern Living Special Collector's Edition, Best of the South, The Drive of a Lifetime, our mile-by-mile guide to the Blue Ridge Parkway. Weekend road trips, perfect beach and mountain towns, where to stay, eat, and explore. Plus, the best places to retire from San Antonio to Asheville. And we listed those in our last episode. And it says, backed by popular demand, third printing of Best of the South 2023. And this magazine should be on display, it says, till 3/13/26. All right, are we ready? We are going to hear about Florida's wild side. As the population of southwestern Florida rises, at an unsustainable rate, nearby cattle ranchers are among those fighting to protect the biodiversity of the historic Mayaca River Valley. And there's a two-page photo spread here, listeners. In the background are flat plains, the Florida plains, the mostly green grasses and low-growing but wide green trees and a couple of palm trees. There are cattle of cream-colored, mostly cream-colored or coffee-colored, some white and a couple black. And in behind this herd of cattle that's marching toward us from the center of the photo, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 herders in the back, people riding horses in the background with cowboy or cowgirl hats on. Can't quite see them. And there's a river just to the right in this photo, a thin river. And at least it's thin here. And in the foreground, coming right toward us, right before us, are two cowboys and two cowgirls riding horses. And the horses are, two of them are, one's white, one is cream colored, and the other two are brown. And they are in movement, in motion toward us. From left to right, this cowgirl is looking behind her at the herd of cattle, holding the reins. She's got a denim shirt on and denim slacks. And she's got a straw cowgirl hat on. It's and the grasses are sandy. There's a sandy, and sometimes it looks wet, sandy bottom there. Marshy, I guess these are, but pretty tall grasses. The next person riding is a gentleman with a blue and white plaid shirt on and jeans, and he's got a white cowboy hat on. His brim is folded up at the sides, and the girls are not. The next one is a younger girl, and she's got a green button-down shirt and jeans, and also a straw hat, the brown band around it. She's holding her reins and looking forward, as was the gentleman we just described. They all have Western saddles, and this young woman also has some yellow, might be some rain gear that's strapped on behind her saddle. And then to the far right, just in front of a palm tree to our right, is a gentleman, also in a plaid shirt and jeans, holding several ropes, coiled rope in one hand and the reins of the horse in his other hand. His sleeves are short. Everybody else has long sleeves on. And this gentleman has a white cowboy hat with brims turned up at the sides. And one more thing in the front right here is a hound dog. Looks like a hound dog. No, it's not a hound dog. A beagle, maybe. Those hunting dogs. You know. He's got brown and white markings. Pretty little thing with his nose down. All right. It says, the caption of the photo, rain or shine, herding cattle on horseback is a typical early morning job for the cowhands on Blackbeard's Ranch. It's a cool and breezy morning on Blackbeard's Ranch in Florida's Myakka River Valley. Clouds conceal the early hints of sun and allow the dew to nestle a bit longer on the grass. It's quiet, barring the rustle of droopy palm fronds in the wind and the distant lowing of grazing cows. You'd never guess that the powdery beaches and bright blue waters of the Gulf of Mexico are less than an hour's drive to the west. This land is lush, green, and untamed. Jim Strickland sits under a traditional Native American tiki hut, and that's spelled C-H-I-K-E-E. It's an open-sided structure with a thatch roof, once favored by the Seminole people of Florida. It overlooks fields of grassy prairie. He's wearing an old cowboy hat that looks like it's seen many early mornings like this. When he starts to talk, he's immediately interrupted by the loud honking of a sandhill crane congregating with two feathered pals about 10 yards away, followed by a chorus of drawn-out moos from a herd of russet red cows relaxing behind him. He laughs, unfazed by the chatty hecklers. Some of those cattle, I knew their mothers, he says. Heck, I knew their grandmothers, their great-grandmothers, and even their great-great-grandmothers. A young calf gallops playfully across the field, a mark of springtime. Strickland has been a cattle rancher in the Myakka region of southwestern Florida practically all of his life. Taking over the family business, now called Strickland Ranch, before he turned 20, he has 6 decades of this work under his belt. His relatives have been ranchers in the area since the early 1860s. To him, that's not such a long time. He's quick to point out, proudly, that Florida is actually the oldest cattle state in the country, contrary to what many might think. When you're wearing a cowboy hat and traveling around the world, the first question you always get is, "Are you from Texas?" Strickland says, giving an eye roll. He humbly swears he's just a cowboy. But over 4 hours, he regales us with stories that seem wilder than the land we're sitting on. He once exported cattle across the globe in Boeing 747 jets, ferrying them to nations like Panama and Russia. During the pandemic, he filmed an online cooking show with renowned chef Hugh Atchison. He also co-founded an environment-focused nonprofit and received Audubon Florida's Sustainable Rancher of the Year Award in 2019. Just a cowboy. Not quite. Most importantly, Strickland has made it his life's mission to champion the conservation of the Myakka River Valley and its ranch lands, waterways, and wildlife corridors. His rallying cry? The land isn't just historically significant. It's vital, both to the biodiversity of the state and as a provider of clean water to nearby communities, especially considering the population growth that's seemingly drowning southwestern Florida. And we have a photo, listeners, of Jim Strickland at the top of the page. It's he is standing at in that structure that we read about with the thatch roof. It's a cheeky hut. But he's standing at a wooden door. The wood is peeling off. The green paint is peeling off the wood. It's a four or five panel door. And the panels are stacked top to bottom. And he is wearing a white shirt, white collared shirt with a pocket on each side of the button-down shirt, and jeans with an elaborate silver metal buckle on his belt and a white hat. He's a white-haired gentleman, long white wavy hair coming from under his white cowboy hat, and he's wearing glasses and looking into the distance. Has a Florida tan, or a tan from working outdoors. And there's some palm trees in the background and the foreground around him. And then there's a full-page photo on the right of a gorgeous, huge oak tree with its hanging moss. And there's a young cowgirl on a horse under the tree, and she's herding a couple of cows. One of them is coffee-colored, and the other is black. And it says, the captions of the photos are, Jim Strickland, managing partner of Blackbeard's Ranch, supervises over 4,500 acres. And at the right, cowhand Amanda Scarborough helps track and herd cattle across the vast property. And back to our story. Standing on this wide-open ranch on any peaceful morning, you could be unaware of the crowds and concrete creeping toward you from not many miles down the road. But that's the opposite of what Strickland wants. This is the story of Florida, he urges. This is the story that can save it. A buried past. A sign at the entrance of Myakka River State Park bluntly states, "Welcome to the real Florida." This area is largely uninhabited, with the exception of cranes, alligators, gopher tortoises, the elusive Florida panther, and hundreds of other species, many of which are threatened or endangered. It's the oldest state park in Florida, and also quite the ecological stronghold, containing a 12-mile stretch of untouchable, protected Myakka River. Blackbeard's Ranch, owned by Mike Galinsky with Strickland as the managing partner, is within a 15-minute drive of the state park's northern access point. Excuse me. Hikers dip into shady trails lined with thick brush, a favorite path being the Myakka Canopy Walkway, which offers a rare peek into the ecosystems, both minuscule and massive, within the swampy marshland. People take to this route like adventurers heading into a tropical jungle as bikers make their way over bridges flanked by views of Lake Myakka. On a lucky day, You might see a sleepy alligator sunbathing, or a long-beaked limpkin looking for snails in the water. It's tranquil and undisturbed, with only 5 historic cabins made from locally harvested palm logs and a handful of campsites offered as overnight stay options. Once, when Native Americans and pirates were the only residents, the entire southwestern part of the state looked like this, the real Florida. In 1521, Spanish explorer Juan Ponce de Leon arrived ashore near Charlotte Harbor, less than 50 miles from where the state park and Mayaca River Valley ranch lands are now. After encountering resistance from the area's indigenous people, he fled by ship, leaving cattle and pigs behind. Descendants of those Spanish cattle became the Florida cracker cows, a hardy breed able to withstand the region's volatile weather from heat to hurricanes. That's a walking piece of history, Strickland says. They're little, scrubby, ugly cows, but they are tough as nails. In 2021, Florida recognized the 500-year anniversary of the beginning of the cattle industry in the state. As for the Mayaca River Valley, much of its history is shrouded in legend. From the remains of a Native American village to the pirate loot once rumored to have been hidden in the vicinity. In tribute to these ties to the past, Blackbeard's Ranch is named after Captain Edward Teach, who bore that notorious nickname, though no buried treasure has ever been found on the land. The story of this valley, wild and free, began long ago, but now open space is shrinking. Native species are decreasing. Clean water is becoming more scarce, and red tides are threatening the coast. Generations of ranchers are getting pressured to sell out and relinquish the land that their cattle operations organically safeguard. Like the cheeky hut that Strickland sits under, parts of Florida's history are being forgotten. This is how it's happening. It all goes downhill. Charlotte Harbor, an arm of the Gulf of Mexico, is both a world-class fishing destination and a tourism hub, making it a big piece in the economic engine of southwestern Florida. It's the second largest estuary in the state, behind Tampa Bay, and over 100 miles of shoreline are currently protected within Charlotte Harbor Preserve State Park, which contains natural mangrove forests and marshes, as well as species like manatees and wading birds. Charlotte Harbor's waters hail largely from the Mayaca River watershed, tying together these two vital and unique features. The Mayaca River watershed is essentially a drainage system of rivers, streams, lakes, and canals that starts near the Hardy-Manatee County line and flows through Manatee, Sarasota, and Charlotte counties downhill to Charlotte Harbor. If the water upstream were to stop flowing, or if it were to become overly contaminated, the result could potentially be very detrimental to Charlotte Harbor, to the fauna it supports, and to its booming industry. Within Mayaca River State Park and the handful of ranches that are inside and edging the watershed system, including Blackbeard's Ranch, Strickland Ranch, and other family-owned farms and cattle operations, water can flow freely through primarily natural land and work its way down to the harbor and Gulf of Mexico. If a condo building or a big box store is suddenly plopped down, the rhythm of the entire system is jeopardized. Water doesn't flow quite as nicely through concrete, a fact that influences not only Charlotte Harbor, but also the water supply of people living in parts of southwestern Florida. These ranches contain the headwaters that end up supplying drinking water to neighboring towns and metro areas, says Julie Morris, the Florida and Gulf Programs Manager for the National Wildlife Refuge Association. And she's also a co-founder of the Florida Conservation Group. They manage the land not just for the cows, but for the wildlife and water quality of the state, she adds. Nonprofits such as the Florida Conservation Group are working to help prove the importance of these particular ranch lands in maintaining the area's incredible biodiversity, using evidence gathered in a unified effort by ranchers and biologists. The goal is to secure funding for conservation easements for the cattle ranches in the Mayaca region. In turn, government incentives can help ensure that the land is preserved for generations to come. It's a plea chorused by many others in the Florida ranching community, like David Lefty Durando, a multi-decade rancher who helped establish Everglades Headwaters National Wildlife Refuge in 2012, and Elizabeth Moore of Triangle Ranch. In 2016, Moore, an environmental philanthropist, acquired the Legacy Ranch along with its three-mile stretch of the Mayaca River from the Carlton family. If these ranchers are providing a habitat that enables the Florida panther, the Florida grasshopper sparrow, the Florida black bear, and countless more animals to survive, what's that worth to us as a society? Morris asks. What's clean air worth to us? How about clean water? Currently, nearly 1,000 new people are moving to the state every day. In 2020, the U.S. Census Bureau reported that the population of Florida had grown to 21.5 million. By 2024, it exceeded 23 million. In contrast, species like the Florida manatee and the loggerhead sea turtle are declining. We know that a lot of animals travel through these private ranch lands and desperately need the space to have viable populations, Mara says. It's as simple as that. The path forward. Just before Strickland gets the call telling him that the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has appointed a new Florida commissioner, exciting news that sets his eyes ablaze with ideas, he looks out over thousands of unspoiled acres, enjoying the same open view as the sandhill cranes and the cows nearby. The dew's gone from the grass, and the mild spring heat is finally starting to stew. You know, I've been in these woods for 60 years, and I've never seen a Florida panther, Strickland says, shaking his head. Very few ranchers that I know have, even though we see signs that they're around. It's like my Moby Dick, but on friendly terms, of course. The wind kicks up, and he adjusts his weathered cowboy hat. Then he adds, but I don't need to see them to want to protect them. And that's our story. And there are some photos here. Excuse me. One is of 10-year-old Cooper Jones showing off her best roping skills. And it's a black and white photo of a little girl with a cowboy hat. And gosh, she's flinging around these lassos. She's got three lassos going there. Jeans and boots and really looking all confident and sharp in her cowgirl hat and her jean and her button-down shirt. And then there are herding dogs that are trained to round up hogs on the ranch. And that's a beautiful picture of the green prairie with some trees in the background and some black cattle in the foreground and a couple of brown herding dogs running around them. And two, I think a cowboy and a cowgirl on dark brown horses, cinnamon-colored horses, actually, behind in the distance there, coming up upon the dogs. Airboat tours are an ideal way to spot alligators and other wildlife in the area's flooded marshlands. And there's a photo of three people on an airboat tour. I don't know if you've ever seen an airboat, listeners, or if you know what those, if you've ever been on an airboat. If you've ever been on an airboat, it's like there's just nothing around you. You're sitting on a seat, and you can feel the wind all around you, and you can feel something under your feet, but that's it. You reach your arms out, and it's nothing but fresh air or wind if you're on a river. And finally, water troughs that are scattered across Blackbeard's Ranch are inviting for quick doggy dips in the Florida heat and also help cool off the horses during herding time. So there's a water trough in the foreground of this photo, listeners, and I chuckled because there's a horse swimming in it. Looks awfully happy. White and brown markings, one of those herding dogs. I guess that's his reward. While the horses are sipping in it. And there's a cowboy and some cowboys in the background as well in that picture. And then there's a gorgeous picture of the water-soaked, real marshland, really swamp. This is swamp because it's got a lot more water than marshlands. So it's a swampy, palm trees growing in the swamp here. It's just a huge... The river is quite wide and expansive in this area, and there's an expansive sky above it. And then there's another, and then there's another black and white photo of the cowboys looking into, and cowgirls looking into the distance. And that, my friends, is our time for today's episode of Southern Living. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope you'll listen next time. I'm Joanna LaForgia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, we'd love to hear from you at 919-832-5138. Once more, that's 919-832-5138. So long until next time.